Over the past 7 weeks since Easter, we've been looking at resurrection responses. And we've looked at the resurrection responses of how those early disciples and how they responded to Jesus' resurrection. How Jesus met them in the upper room and said, "Peace be with you." How Jesus met them on the shore and said, "Feed my sheep." In fact, over the past 7 weeks, I've asked you, some of you, to share what is your response to the resurrection. There's still time if you want to share. There's still time if you want to share. Easter was 7 weeks ago, 50 days. And in the Hebrew calendar, Easter is Passover. And Passover in the Jewish calendar is when the angel of death passes over and the Israelites are saved and they're brought out of captivity. They're brought out of slavery and brought into the wilderness. And of course, they have to wander for 40 years because they didn't trust God. That one chorus in that song, "Build My Life." Can you put the chorus up for me? I'll ask Dane to put the chorus up. But they wandered for 40 years because they didn't think they could walk into the promised land. And this chorus, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken." When I was singing that, it was like the Holy Spirit was just, I don't know if that ever happens to you. This is not in the sermon, but the Holy Spirit just comes and says, "Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me?" And maybe I'm saying that to you. The Holy Spirit was saying it to me. So I'm going to say it to you. Are you going to trust God? When I first became a Christian, the pastor of the church said, "Start memorizing Scripture." And he says, "Memorize Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That was the first passage I ever memorized. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he'll direct your steps." The Israelites wandered for 40 years because they didn't trust God. And what I want to say to you is, don't wander. And don't wonder. Put your trust in God today. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And he wants to bring you into a promised land. That's what he's telling me to tell you. Back to the message. They celebrated Passover. Jesus was crucified and raised from death to life during the Passover. For 40 days, he appeared to the disciples and many others, it says in Scripture, to 500 people. And then he tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And 10 days after he ascends into heaven, I'm giving you the shortened version of the gospel, he ascends into heaven. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls. They're gathered in the upper room, and it says that the Holy Spirit came in like tongues of fire and landed on all of them. That's why we dress. And they began to speak in other languages. Passover, we talked about that, about 2 million people or more come to Jerusalem for Passover. They wait 7 weeks, and scholars believe close to 2 million people come for Shavuot. I put a picture up here, Shavuot. Now, it may not be a good picture, but there's the Western Wall, and there's all thousands and thousands of people gathering in Jerusalem. They're gathering. They were there last night waiting for Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of the First Fruits. That's when the Holy Spirit came. That's when the Holy Spirit came. on Shavuot. Now, the Gentile church started calling, instead of calling it Shavuot, they started calling it Pentecost, because it was 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost is Shavuot. Shavuot was originally celebrated because 7 weeks after they were brought out of slavery, Jesus walked, or God, Moses walked down from the mountain with tablets. And the law was given on Shavuot. The law was given on Shavuot. And so they celebrated Shavuot, the Feast of the First Fruits, or the Feast of Weeks, as the giving of the law. Years ago, the law was given. 2,000 years ago, the Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was given. So on this day, the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit falls, and they begin to speak in other languages. And it says in Acts 2 that all those people gathered there thought that they were drunk or filled with wine because they were speaking in other languages. We're going to look. I've been asking you to think about your resurrection response. We're going to look at Peter and his resurrection response after being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Before we go to the Word, last night was their Sabbath, the Jewish people, on Shavuot. Do you know that they stayed up all night last night reading Deuteronomy? Because it's the law. They read the Word all night last night to celebrate the giving of the law. We gather this morning to celebrate the giving of the Spirit and the birth of the church. Set it in the context, Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. It's a long reading. The Holy Spirit comes. They begin to speak in other languages. Speak in tongues is what it says. And then they say, they're amazed and perplexed, and they in verse 12, and I didn't put it up there. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another. Think of a crowd of close to 2 million people. They were amazed and perplexed, and they said, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. I want to put the picture up there for you to think of Peter standing up in this crowd. Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice. He would have to raise his voice in a crowd like that. He raised his voice and he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. It's 11. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone," don't miss that verse, Acts 2:21. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It doesn't say some or a few. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. I want you to trust in God. I want you to call out to God. Verse 22, he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, there's another verse you could underline in your Bible, 2:24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible. It was impossible for death to hold him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he was at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence. Verse 29. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his own descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life. This is Peter's resurrection response. Peter saw Jesus at least, we know, recorded at least three times. And he says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses. We're witnesses of it. Exalted at the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, imagine the picture. Imagine Peter standing in this crowd, shouting out this message. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, that's us, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In the Christian church, this is the birth of the church, by one man's resurrection response. One man, Peter, got up in a crowd like this and gave a message. When I went to seminary, our homiletics professor, he said, make your sermons 3 points and a poem, and then get out. He was an older man, and he said, 3 points and a poem and get out. Today, most pastors give you 1 point. I asked Don and Mike the other day, what should we do here at the Seed? Maybe there's things we should change, and how do we make the sermon relevant for this next generation? In the Puritan times, okay, if we were living back in the 1700s and the 1800s, they didn't have a three-point message. They had 7 to 8 points, and the message was like an hour and a half long. Now, sometimes I do a one-point message and sometimes a three-point message, but what is the point of speaking and giving a resurrection response? And I'll put this out to you. What is it that you want from a message? So here's your 3 points. They're up here. Peter answered their questions, and he gives a three-point message here, if you follow his outline. This is three points in his. And he did this in 589 words. Now, my message is over 2,000 words, because I count my word count on my message. So I should stop right now. He did it in 589 words. He first answered their question. They're not drunk. They're not drunk. What does this mean? That was their question. They have had too much wine. And he says, no. It's his preaching style, or his resurrection response, is pretty simple. He answered their question. He told them about the resurrected Christ. And then he gave them a so what? A challenge. He said, because they say, well, what should we do? Because they're cut to the heart. What should we do? And he says, repent. Repent means to stop walking in this way and turn around and follow God. Stop not trusting God and trust God. Stop not believing in God and believe in God. Stop doing the things you're doing. That's what repent means. And start doing the things you know you should do. And then he says, repent and be baptized and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple message. Hard to follow. Hard to follow. Peter, he talks about, on the next slide, can you go to the next slide? He talks about the power of Jesus' life. He says, his resurrection response is, look at all the miracles. Now, they were all around. They were there when Jesus healed the sick and brought the dead back to life and cured the lepers. They were there when Lazarus was raised. They were there. Many of them saw Jesus raised from the dead. He talks about the power of Jesus' life. And then he talks about the prophecies of Jesus' death and how the prophecy foretold that Jesus would be crucified. And then he said the promise of Jesus' resurrection. But God took this man who you killed and raised him back to life. The resurrection divides people. The resurrection of Jesus divides people. And then he challenges us with our response to the power of the prophecies and the purpose of the resurrection, I would say. So your so what this week is up here. So my so what question is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And what will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? God says, I'm the Father, and he sends his son Jesus to live, to die, and to be raised again. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave you and give you my identical twin, Allos Parakletos. I'm going to give you my identical twin to be with you forever. He breathes on them. The Holy Spirit fills them. And you have the Holy Spirit now when you've accepted Christ into your life. He's living in you. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, as Miss Jack said, in you. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with him? What is your response? What is, and I challenge you, yes, I'm challenging you. What is your resurrection response? I interviewed for a church when I first graduated from seminary back in the 90s in a church in Texas. They interviewed me. They flew me out there. And they had had a division in the church. The previous pastor had gone way to the far side with the spiritual side and dealing mostly with the Holy Spirit. And they didn't want that, so they interviewed me and asked me to teach on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So I preached that Sunday and then taught that Sunday. And then basically what they wanted to do was, and they told me, they wanted the Word, but they didn't know if they wanted the Spirit. And so, how can you separate the Word from the Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost and fills all the people in the upper room, and those 11 and all the 3,000 after them, they turned the world upside down. You're here today because a man stood in that courtyard 2,000 years ago and said, but God raised him from the dead. That's it. God raised him from the dead. And they go, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you call us to commit our lives to you, to trust in you, to believe in you, to put our hope in you. Lord, we ask that you would just anoint us with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we would have the holy boldness, that we would be filled with the Spirit to go out and share our resurrection response, even if it's with one person or a million people. Fill us with that holy boldness to go out and proclaim, but God raised this Jesus from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song.